Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, are you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. Good to be back one more time where we can get together and study the Word of God. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you. We can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, it's another Thursday night where we can get together and study this word of God and to help you be encouraged. To continue the cause of Christ, continue to hold up the bloodstained banner and continue to be encouraged through the ups and downs of life. It's interesting, these last eight chapters of the book of Acts, as the Apostle Paul is getting ready to do his last missionary work, and how he's encouraging those that will be continuing the work to continue to be faithful. And the biggest thing that in reading this chapters, we find that leading by example is probably the biggest thing that members of the body of Christ can do. Always heard when we were growing up, talk is cheap.
Yeah.
And you can talk a good game, but what can you walk? And a lot of times you find that in ministry, people do a lot of talking, but you have to back that talk up. You have to get in a position where you understand that God's not looking for a whole bunch of lip service. I know I'm meddling now. He's looking for some people to carry out the word of God. Sheila G.
Amen. So you sound like Pastor G. Those are two phrases that he's continuing. And many years of pastoring is letting people know that talk is cheap, that's what it is, as well as lip service, and that your life, you have to be an ambassador for Christ, that you can't. He was just preaching this past Sunday about how you can't on one moment praise and talk about the Lord and then in the next moment be ready to cut somebody out.
Mm. Dr. G, we'll chime in on that.
Yeah, well, it's the truth. And I guess I found that as I've gotten older, I really don't care what folks think. I'm just going to say what the Lord tells me. But it's true. You know, within the church, you find a lot of people that do a lot of talking. They give a lot of lip service. But when it comes time to really backing it up, you know, that's all it is lip service. You know, there's no commitment, no seriousness, and the Lord is not looking for that.
Amen. Amen. And so as we study this 20th chapter of the book of Acts, we see that Paul is backing it up. He's going to Jerusalem where he would encounter the Jews that were irritated by his commitment to proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and eventually be taken to Rome, where he would go before Caesar as a Roman citizen and ultimately be confined to house arrest and ultimately be a martyr for the cause of Christ. And so this is his final chapter or his final leg of his earthly ministry. And he is going to mention a lot of people names starting chapter 20, verse 13, and until the end of this chapter. And he is letting them know that, you know, he's done all his work. He's going to finish his course. He's going to finish the race. And he's warning them about the folks that are going to try to tear it down. And there's going to come a time where the people that he's taught, it's going to be time for them to put up a shut up. You get to a place where in ministry you ministered, you've done, you've taught, you lived your life, and comes to a point. Old deacon used to say, every tub's got to sit on his own bottom. Mm-hmm. What was meant by that is that you can't get to heaven on grandmama's religion. You can't get to heaven on granddaddy's heaven religion. You got to get there on your own. In other words, you got to make a case for yourself. And so once you've been taught, once you've been poured into, you have to carry it out. And all of us have people who are poured into our lives. And there's going to come a time where we're going to have to play our role. We're going to have to do what God has instructed us to do. And so that's the cry, that's the clarion cry of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that we will proclaim. But thus said the Lord, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is a serious call. This is a serious time that Paul is going through to proclaim the gospel. And, you know, we're living in a serious time right now where people are experiencing wars and rumors of wars and devastating things that are happening all over the world. And so now is not the time for the church to cower, but it's time for us to stand bold and preach and teach what thus said the Lord wherever we are and let people know what God says in his word, contrary to what man is saying and what he's doing. And it comes at a cost. Sometimes we can't hide in the cut and say, well, you know, I think it's going to be all right. No, we have to stand in bold where we are and say, you know, we're going through tough times, but, you know, God never promised that the road would be easy. But what he said in his great commission, Sheila G, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatever I told you, and lo, I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. Amen. In other words, he said go, but he didn't say it was going to be easy. What he promised is that he would be with us. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is teaching to these folks that he's coming to at the end of his journey, is that you got to go and you got to be bold and live a life that I've lived before you, before others. Sheila G.
Amen. And it's interesting, as you were talking, you know how we always relate the first century church to the church of today. And when you're saying how, like you said, we can't get there on grandma's faith, we got to have our own faith. And I think what's happened in the church is we've gotten away from the elders teaching and incorporating younger people to say, like Paul's doing. He's like, I'm going to leave here. So because I'm leaving, I'm going to leave you with instructions for you to carry forward, and you need to know him for himself. What we found, and this really came out, and I've talked to some people in other churches and stuff, that with the pandemic, people have recognized that it's only the elderly that are in their church, and a lot of churches are dying off. And the reason they're dying off is because we, as the church, the elders in the church, did not do like Paul's doing. Paul is preparing them for not to be there. Jesus prepared his disciples for him not to be there to carry on God's word. But everybody got so important and so holier than thou, and that they didn't believe that the young people could do it, or the elders, I'm the only one, I'm the high and mighty, I'm sitting here. Well, now they ran all the young people away. Now the churches are dying out, and now is a time where we need our youth to be out there getting into good trouble, showing love, pointing people to Christ. And that's why I have to commend both you and Pastor Gregory, because you do delegate. You do say, okay, you all may not be perfect in your ministry, but I'm going to step back. I'm going to let you do some things in service. Come to me with your ideas so that the church can grow. And this is what Paul is doing. He's passing on to the disciples, to them, to say, I'm going to be out of here, but I'm leading by example so you can carry it on. And then there's a lesson that can be learned from this, that we need to take a look at what's going on in our church today as far as pushing people away from church because we're expecting them to be perfect, and we got this.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Well said. So let's pick up in Acts chapter 20, and let's look at and last week we saw Paul was preaching, and he was preaching a little bit long-winded, and one of the young men fell out the window, and Paul came and laid on him, and God's wisdom and God's mercy allowed the young man to live. We were talking about how people have coded and come back to life, and here this young man had been pronounced dead and was brought back to life by Paul being able to minister to him. And you never know until God says it's over, it ain't over. And like I've seen people that have been brought back to life by different means, whether it's through CPR, whether it's through a defibrillator, whether it's through any type of medication. But God has the ability to be able to restore life physically and spiritually. So that's where we left off in Acts 20, verse 12, the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. And that was the question we asked on last week, whether God brought you to it, he'll see you through it. And he does. He allows you to be able to get to a place where you are going through. And sometimes you don't know how long it's going to be. Sometimes you don't know how difficult it's going to be. But if you find yourself in it, if you find yourself in this situation, if you find yourself in a place where you're going through, and many people go through, but if you find yourself in a place where you're going through, what you have to do is say, hey, you know, I'm going through right now, but don't allow that situation to overthrow you. Don't let it get you off your game, but get to a place where you're saying, okay, I understand. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through with God. And if God brought me to it, I know I can get through it. And when you have that attitude of if God brought me to it, I know he's going to bring me through it. What happens is you don't get too high, you don't get too low, in your life or in your ministry or in the circumstances you're going through. And so as we see here in Acts 20, beginning at verse 13, you see the Apostle Paul knowing that, you know, this is his last round of bases, this is his last trip. He's not getting too high, he's not getting too low, because he knows who he is and whom he is, who he belongs to and what he has to do. And when you know you belong to God and you know what you have to do and you know who you are in God, what happens is you're not going to get too high, you're not going to get too low, but you're going to go ahead and do what you need to do. Thing. And so that's what I look at a lot of times when we were talking about Black History Month on last month, about the people that we grew up in the Black community, that in spite of all the racism and slavery and all the tough times, that people did what they had to do. People, whether your grandparents, great-grandparents, your brothers or your sisters, you did what you had to do to get through. And you didn't whine and you didn't mope and you didn't, you know, just give up. But you understood that there was a difficult situation and circumstances, but you did what you had to do based upon your faith in God, based upon the leaders that you saw and what they were doing and how they were getting through. And eventually change was made. Change doesn't happen overnight. And so that's the thing that we've been brought up with in the Black church, is that change doesn't happen overnight. But if you continue to walk by faith, if you continue to know that you are a child of God, if you continue to know what God's plan and his will is for you in your life, what happens is you will at some point see a change. And when you see that change, that continues to encourage you, that it continues to give you hope, and that continues to give you the ability to want to encourage someone else who might be going through to continue their walk. Sheila Jean.
Yeah,
you there, Sheila? Go ahead.
Just hold on till my change comes. And that's what the old folks used to say. And that's what we have to do, is not so much focus on our circumstance or our problem, to focus on our problem solver. And while we're focusing, the key to that, and that's what it says in the end of Psalm 27, is to be of good courage. So wait on the Lord and be of good courage. So if you're waiting for your change to come, you can't complain and you can't whine, because then you're not showing that you have faith. And when you don't show that you have faith, then God can't do for you. You're blocking your blessings. So it's the type of thing where we have to wait on the Lord, be of good courage until that change comes. Then we can hear from him, and he will tell us what direction we need to do, and we will have peace of mind.
Amen. Dr. G, want to chime in on that?
Yeah, you know, I agree with what Sheila was saying. It's a thing, and part of that, too, is you've got to grow in your understanding of who God is and how he works. Too often folk accept the Lord as their personal Savior and begin to go through some things, but they think the Lord is going to come in and solve all of their problems. You know, growing in grace, you got to understand that God works according to his own will. But if you believe in the Lord, then you can let go and let God handle it. And he will definitely step in, for he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world."
Okay.
And that's something that we've got to understand, but you've got to believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Definitely. And that's so important. And like you're saying, growing takes time. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And sometimes God allows you to go through these things
right,
to enhance your growth. And,
yep,
you know, sometimes you forget that in order to get pure gold, there's a process where you have to heat it up. And
yep,
it has to go through some heat. And after it's been heated up and it goes through the heat, then the impurities come to the top, and they're able to be, probably the dross is able to be skimmed off, and you're able to get a pure gold. And in order for us to become more and more like Christ, sometimes we have to go through some heat. And
that's
in
right,
order for us to grow and some of the stuff that is not of God that's in our life to be come to the top and get skimmed off, some self-evaluation according to the word of God. And when we get to that place where you're saying God is working with me, he's dealing with me, he's molding, he's shaping me into his image, what happens is you begin to grow. Mm-hmm. And your growth can be seen by those that are around you. And that's what each generation, like you were talking about, Shilji, that's what each generation has to pass on to the next generation and let them know it's not going to be easy. The same in this section, Paul talked about the wolves, the same wolves that were after me, going to be the same wolves that are after you. And so even some of the people that I'm talking to right now are going to turn into some wolves and lead people astray. Jesus went through the same thing. When he had his 12 disciples, he said, yep, and one of y'all with me right now is going to betray me. And they was like, it's not me, it's not me. I'm like, yep, it's you. And some folk going to hurt your feelings. I tell Christians all the time, you're going to have some folk going to hurt your feelings. You think they're going to be with you? And they'll be the very one stabbing in the back and twisting that knife, Shield G.
Man, as you were talking about that, one of my favorite hymnals came to my mind, Hold to His Hand, God's Unchanging Hand, Build Your Hope on Things Eternal, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand, because he is the only one that's unchanging, and he is the one that will love you unconditionally. Man will go with you depending on the wind, how the wind blows. And like you said, they could be smiling in your face one day, and let you say something that they don't like, then they're stabbing you in the back the next. But if you hold on to God's unchanging hand and not man's changing hand and build your things on things eternal, then you can make it through. Because you're right. God is the only one you can trust. You can't have faith in man. You can have faith in God to put the proper people in your life. But even with that, you trust God to do it, because he may put somebody in your path that you're like, nah, because we look on the surface, but God knows their heart, and then that's we end up falling for the wrong person based off what we see or what we want to hear versus what the people that God wants to be in our lives to influence us to draw closer to him.
Amen, amen. Let's go to Acts 20, verse 13, and we'll be reading from the NIV. It says, we went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos. We were going to take Paul aboard. He had made his arrangement because he was going there on foot. And so, again, this is a multi-pronged ministry. Some were going in ships, and Paul was going on foot. But everyone was going in the right, in the same direction. Again, that's one of the things in ministry is when people understand and people go in the right, the same direction as the leadership is going. And it's important to study the word of God to see that, hey, if I'm going this way and the leadership saying I'm going this way, then I have to course correct. And if the leader is lining up with the word of God, I need to course correct and make sure I'm lining up with the leader who is going according to the word of God. That's another big challenge in ministry, that people listen to so many things and listen to themselves and listen to ministry. And I laugh sometimes when people listen to other people's ministry, Dr. G, and you're like, okay, that might be good for that ministry, but this ministry is going. And a lot of times people say, they do this place, and they do this place. And, you know, that reminds me of the times where we would come home and tell my mama or my daddy, well, so-and-so mama, so-and-so daddy, they do so and so, and they do so and so, and you know we get the proverbial. Well, I'm not so and so's mama. I'm not so and so's daddy.
And we had our kids, we said the same thing.
You know, I understand so and so, and I understand so and so, and you know people talk about, well, they do this at this church, and they do that at that church. I understand they do that at that church, and that at this church, but this is what God said this church needs to do. And you feel you find the hoppers, Dr. D, they hop from this one and hop from that one. Never get rooted and grounded because they're always looking at the grass is greener. But at some point, you got to grow your own grass. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. I mean, that's one thing that you'll find within the church. Folk will get mad or disenchanted, and because you won't do what they want you to do, then they'll pack up and leave and go someplace else. In my 20-some-odd years of pastor, I guess I've seen it all. I've had folk leave for all kinds of reasons. But, you know, I have to stay grounded in the Word and according to how the Lord wants me to go. I've told folk even during these 2 years on the pandemic, there's a reason why the Lord will not let New Birth close its doors. And as long as he says don't, tell him we're not going to do it. You know, now we may stay on Zoom to a certain point of time, but at the time that the Lord says, all right, now it's time to get back into the building, then we've got to do that. But I've learned I can't pattern, you know, my ministry after what other pastors will do. God gives me a certain type of message and a certain type of thing that he wants me to do at New Birth because that's for my people. And folk need to understand that.
Amen, amen. So here in that chapter 13, they're all going in the same direction. And some on foot and some by boat. And then in verse 14 it says, when he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went to Mytilene. And again, they're in the same direction. They have the same mission. They have the same direction. And the next day, in verse 15, the next day we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. And then the day after that, we crossed over to Samos. And on the following day, arrived at Melita. And if you can get folk to do the same thing for five straight days, man, you're doing some stuff. it's like everybody's on one accord, and everybody's going in the same direction. And again, in the beginning of the book of Acts, where Jesus told them, you know, go to a place and they were all in one place on one accord, and the Holy Spirit, you know, birthed the church. And this is being consistent through the book of Acts that we're studying, in one place on one accord. In other words, they were on one accord following the Spirit of God. And that's how important it is for the church to remain on one accord, because the common tactic of the enemy is to divide and conquer. And to get this group going to this group, get this group going to this group, and back in the day, they used to call them cliques. And if you weren't in that clique, you weren't in it. And if you weren't in that clique, you weren't in it. And in other words, we do this or we do this. And it's like, well, I thought we were as a church, we all worship and serve God. And so you have to be careful about the divide and conquer tactic of the enemy. To be able to stay on one accord. And again, that's what we see all through the book of Acts, is the church carrying out the work of God because they remained on one accord doing the will of God. Sheila G.
And it's important to stay on one accord because Satan, with his thick self, will slip in there and do something very subtle to cause division.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest tools, and that's been in churches since forever, is with the choirs. When you had the senior choir, then you had youth choir, and then you had the young adult choir, and then you had this choir on. Everybody had a different Sunday, but then the next thing you know, they're competing with each other. And it's like, hello, we're all to be singing to the glory of God. It's not a competition where, I remember one church, he called one of the choirs the Wrecking Crew, but the senior choir, because they sang old hymns, weren't considered the Wrecking Crew. But everything that they were singing was supposed to be to the glory of God and not for form and fashion. Then you had the fashion shows where certain people, because they were in a certain income status, they could wear this and they'd come with their furs. But other people that may not have that would come just as they are. But then you'd have them looking at what they're wearing, focusing on the clothes, and again, not on one accord and on God. And so I think that's part of the reason why at New Birth, finally, the pastor was like, nope, we all going to sing together, and one choir is not better than the other. It's whatever God leads, and he left it up to the minister of music and the director. This is what we're going to do, because Satan sneaks in there very easily on subtle.
Amen. That is so true. And you have to be sensitive to that and keep reminding people the importance of being on one accord. But let's look at verse 16. It says, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. So Ephesus was a place where he had spent many years ministering. And so he wasn't going to, he wanted to avoid spending time there because he wanted to get to Jerusalem, where he knew that that's where he would be launched his final leg of ministry, to minister there and be challenged by the Jews there for preaching the gospel. And so he wanted to finish out strong, if you will, and not get sidetracked. And I always like to say it's easy to procrastinate, and procrastination is something that everybody can do. I know our brother, he used to have this thing. He said, I will. What was it? I will. I will. I'm coming. Okay. Well, and he would procrastinate, and so one of the, again, subtleties of the enemy is to get us to procrastinate. We could say, well, I know, you know, it's my last leg of ministry, so I'm gonna procrastinate because I don't want to. So I'm gonna stop over here and minister to the folk I already ministered to for 3 years. And the guy was like, no. You need to get to Jerusalem and go ahead and stay the course and do what you had to do. And, you know, the enemy tried to attack Jesus, but Jesus knew he had to go to the cross. And so he had to pray. He had to get to Gethsemane and pray, Father, if it be any way possible, you know, let this cup pass for me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so the human body, the physical body, has a tendency to procrastinate. Somebody, if you can't say amen, say ouch. Because we all have a procrastination tendency if we allow it to sneak up on us. And so we have to recognize it and say, hey, I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm not going to let this thing, you know, lie, because what happens is, if you procrastinate, what happens is you take longer to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. And so we have to be about our Father's business. And so here we see Paul saying, I can't go to Ephesus because I know if I go there, I'm going to end up, you know, talking and end up staying. And sometimes on your cell phone, on your caller ID, you know, you got some gossip, juicy gossip on that line. Amen. If you can't say amen, say out. There's some folk, you know, everybody got their girlfriend, everybody got their friend that they can talk, and you can talk, and you ain't talking about nothing, but you talking. And you have to know that there's certain times I have to call you later, because if I talk to you, I'm going to be talking to you for a while, you know, whether it's about the game, whether it's about the children, whether it's about something that happened at work. You know, folk like talk. You know, we social beings, and you know, it feels good to talk sometimes, because we can't talk to everybody about everything. So sometimes you talk and you have somebody with some understanding, you run in your mouth when you should be doing something more constructive. Uh-huh. Help me out, Sheila G. I'm getting in trouble.
Amen. Pastor G actually preached on procrastination this past Sunday. And we are, because we're human beings, we are easily distracted. And especially if it's something that we know about, someone, like you said, someone that we can be ourselves with, So there are times where you have to be disciplined enough. You have to discipline yourself and say, I know if I get to talking or if I go do this or if I turn this channel, I got to turn the TV off because if I get into this show, you know, it's even certain things on television that, like, okay, let me put the news on so I can focus on what I need to do, because if I put on this movie, then I'm not going to focus on what I need to do. And as it's human nature for us to find things that feed our flesh that distracts us from what we need to do spiritually.
Amen. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, you're absolutely right. I talked funny. I told them. Talked about the tragedy of waiting for a perfect time. Basically, it's nothing but procrastination. And as a people, doesn't matter whether we're in church, out of church, we can find all kinds of reasons to put it off or to find a reason why not to do what we should be doing. I mean, it's just in us as humans.
Mm-hmm.
It comes natural. And that's why, you know, we have to really stay close to the Lord and be guided by the Holy Spirit so that we don't fall into that trap.
Amen, amen. We used to have a thing on our refrigerator. We were coming up and called a round to it. And,
oh, yeah.
And I don't know if anybody ever seen it, a round to it. And what it is getting around to it. I got to look that thing up again. But it was always something that you were getting around to it. And so here, Paul saying, nah, I'm not going to fall into that. I'm going to go ahead because I know I need to get to Jerusalem. We need to get this show on the road, minister there. I know there's going to be some folk that are going to be unhappy when I'm in Jerusalem. I'm in a hurry. And so I can't stop by Ephesus because in Ephesus, we had a good time and we could chew the fat. And sometimes it's good to chew the fat, but sometimes chewing the fat will cause you to not do what you need to do. Sort of like when you're supervising your folks spend too much time at the water cooler or too much on the chit chat or too much time in the break room and not getting the work done.
And you
have to tell them, well, you need to make sure you get your work done. Stay away from that break room so much. And here we see Paul getting in a hurry to go to Jerusalem. He wanted to get there by the day of Pentecost, that celebration of Pentecost. And in verse 17, it says, from Malthus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. In other words, so he bypassed them. But once he got past them, he sent for them. He said, okay, we're going here and send for those brothers, those folk in ministry to come so we can take care of business. And it's a business. It's a way of conducting yourself. It's a way of conducting the business of ministry. And you have to know yourself. You have to know the people you're working with. And the people that you're working with have to know themselves. That, okay, when it's time to get down to business, it's time to get down to business. And we have to learn to have that discipline and that mindset that when it's time, it's time. And when it's time to play, you play. But when it's time to get down to business, you have to get down to business. I know, Sheila G, I'm reminded when we used to have a TV. We had like two TV. One TV, it only got a couple of channels, and you put aluminum foil on the antenna, and we were moving around, a little portable. But then we had a TV that had like an antenna that was connected to the outside. And Grandma Smith, where she used to stay with us, she had a time when her stories would come on. Come on now. Somebody know about the stories. Am I by myself? Somebody know about the stories out there. and her favorite one was we had Luke and Laura in it. What was it? General Hospital. They had Luke and Laura. and they be talking like Luke and Laura were real folk. And you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah, but Luke said this and Luke did this and Luke, you're like, what? Luke and Laura, what? And so there was a time for her when she got away and she got into her story. But Lord have mercy, after the story's off, she was strictly about the word of God. She was strictly about her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, her ministries, her work at the church. she was on point. And so she didn't let the stories interfere with her ministry. And Lord have mercy. If you try to get that TV from Grandma when her story is on, you was in trouble, Jack. And the same way, when it was time for her to go to Second Baptist and carry out her ministry, look, and you got in her way, you was in trouble, Jack. Sheila G, help me out.
Amen. Yes, yes, you're exactly right. It's like a time. Was it Ecclesiastes, the third chapter? There's a time. Everything, there's a time. There was a time her to sit down and relax and watch the story. But there was a time where she was either doing the deacon's ministry or going to service, Bible study, Sunday school, a vacation Bible school, and we were all on point with her. But like you said, when she was serious about God's business and she was serious about her business as well, of the things that she wanted to do as well.
Amen. Dr. G, you remember them stories?
Oh, yeah. I grew up around my mom. And during a certain time, that's all she would watch. As the World Turned, General Hospital, all of them.
Hey, man, you better not mess with that TV. You better go into that one, that little one with the aluminum foil on it and try to watch what you're going to watch.
Yeah.
But it was a thing where you know, if you look at this with Paul, Paul was carrying out the business of the church, conducting the ministry. He called for those elders in chapter 20, verse 17, to come to the church. And so he was serious about the work of the ministry. And verse 18, it says, when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. And so here he's, I call this is his final farewell, but he's rehearsing with them, you know, when he first met them and the things that he did to encourage them to do likewise. And it's important to get and groom people. On my secondary job, I have the ability to groom apprentices, and each apprentice is with me for me like 3 to 4 years. And have the ability to groom them. And the best way to groom them is to lead by example. And so you're teaching them and you're leading by example. And so at the end of their 4 years, you have the ability to see how far they've grown. And so you're ready to allow them or to nurture them to go to the next level or where they're going as far as with the engineering license, with how they mature to be able to go somewhere else and to continue operating as engineers. But you have to set the example. You have to teach them what they need to be taught. And a lot of them, when they first came, they were real rough. They was real raw. They was real green. But at the end of that 3 or 4 years, you see the maturity and you've helped to bring out the various gifts and talents that they are and help to feed that hunger that they have to want to go and do farther work in the trade. And so you have to have that mindset as a leader or a person in ministry to say you want people to grow, you want people to go further, you want people to accomplish in their lives what God has for them. And I always go back to you, Dr. G, where you took me as a green minister. Lord have mercy. I was green as green can be, but you nurtured me and you allowed me to preach. You allowed me to stumble. You allowed me to get up. You allowed me to go through and you were there to help actually launch the founding or the planting of Heart of God Church. And that's the type of thing that leaders should be, to be able to say, hey, they're not where they should be right now, but I'm not going to step all over them. I'm not going to, you know, crush them, but I'm going to nurture what's there and watch them grow and get to a place where they can be what God has called them to be. And when you do that, what happens is now they have the ability to be able to do the same thing for those that are around him. And that's what Jesus left when he left with his disciples. He said, you see what I did in my earthly ministry, even though it was 3.5 years, but do what I did and nurture those that are like-minded to do what I did. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, you've seen me in ministry. You've seen what I've done. Now I want you to take this and my time is coming up short, And I want you to continue this thing. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you know, I guess for me, you know, I thank God for the compliment, but, you know, that's just a part of who I am. I believe in helping young ministers. I believe in helping people who are serious about their walk with Christ. And, you know, I thank God that I had the occasion of sitting under a man, my first pastor, Pastor King. He did just that. And he would, you know, he would train, he would mentor, then he would give us an opportunity to preach and, you know, use the gifts and things that we had so that I was able to bring that over into my ministry, and I still do it. I mean, even on my job, you know, I finally got some help, you know, and I've trained them, sit down with a young man, train them. Then at a certain point, I let them get some hands-on training, learn how to run the scanner, the machine. And that's how you help folk to grow. You know, but you don't criticize and talk about what they don't do. You know, you encourage. You try to be there to point the way so that, you know, that they can ask questions, you answer the questions, because they're telling, you know, there is no bad question. Be able to answer your question and then just go from there.
Amen. Phil G., you want to add to that?
Well, I think about when, as far as mentoring and remembering, I think about our parents and how they trained us. But there was a certain point they said, we put the foundation in you. Now you go out there, you do what you need to do, you bump your head, you struggle. We're here to encourage you, but take what I've given you. You've seen how we lived a humble life. We've lived a Christian life. We've tried to show you, but you can't ride into heaven on our coattail. You need to get out there and experience life. And we turn that same thing over into our own children where we're like, okay, I gave you the basis. Now go out there, fall, do whatever you need to do, and then do what – then once you've bumped your head enough, you'll come to yourself like the prodigal son, and then you'll be able to do what you need to do. And I remember on our dad's deathbed that when I was the last one to be there with him, and he said to me, he said, I want you to know – and I want you to tell your brothers that I am proud of all of you all, that I've lived a great life. God has blessed me and blessed your mom. He said, make sure you take care of your mom. But he blessed me to live a wonderful life. And he gave me a thumbs up. But it was this very, you know, as we're reading this, it's kind of like he took me through that. And that's how I knew. I think all of us kind of knew that he was going to be passing soon. But those were the last things where I knew that he knew that this was probably going to be his last few hours. And he gave me instructions to give to you all that he's lived a good life. He's had his ups and downs. God has blessed him. He wasn't him. But the last thing he said was he was proud of us, and he wanted us to continue on serving the Lord and doing as God has instructed us.
Amen, amen. That's powerful to have your parents live that, to see it in the Word, see others around you do it. And we want to go to the phone line, and we just want to just ask the question of the importance of setting a good example and encouraging others to set a good example. It's so important to set a good example. So many people are setting terrible examples. Who asked that question tonight, the importance of setting a good example? And go to our first caller tonight, last four digits, 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I do now know the importance of setting a good example. I've always tried to set a good example when it was to the children. And, you know, I've been through things in my life where I know I wasn't setting no good example for nobody, not even myself. But thank God, glory be to God, that he came and he picked me up and he changed me. He dusted me off. He cleaned me up. And when you get cleaned up, You got a different mindset about things. You got a different mindset. You can set an example. You can show without even saying, oh, let me write this down. I got to remember. No, it's in you to do it, and that's what you're going to do. So it's just glory be to God for me. And I'm so thankful because I have helped with my nieces, my nephews, my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm,
and I know
I
have given them something that's going to help them somewhere along the way, including what their mother and their parents give them. So it is very important. I know the importance, and I'm so grateful to God that he made me somebody different. You got to be different before you can show anybody anything. You know, you got to be, you got to have the right mindset. You got to think right. You got to know what's right and wrong, which I knew what was right and wrong, but to deliver it, it's got to be inside of you. And I thank God for that. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Going to go to our next caller. Last four digits 1741. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's very important in setting a good example, and I think it's been times in many of our lives where we weren't exactly where we wanted to be, but it's by the grace of God, and keep trying and keep working on it, that God helps us and we get to a point where we can truly help someone, and the change has to come from the heart. The example has to come from the heart, and as we get closer to the Lord, the more we want to be Christ-like, and the more we want to consider others and think about others. Most of all, the more we want to be humble and meek. So in order to draw people to you, you got to have that humbleness spirit, that caring spirit and supportive spirit of others. And so it's very important that you do. And being able to, there are times in your life when you're gonna mess up. And people appreciate when you can tell them, look, I made a mistake, I messed up. Forgive me, or I'm sorry, you know, I didn't do that right, you know. And so when you can be honest with them and say, okay, I failed here. You know, I didn't do this exactly right, okay? Mm-hmm. And so people can appreciate that because we're striving for perfection. We haven't, you know, we're working on it every day. And so there's nobody that is perfect, but we keep asking the Lord to help us. And things, don't let us keep making the same mistake over and over and over again.
Right,
at least that's
right.
That's my prayer. I keep asking the Lord to help me and open up my eyes spiritually, because sometimes you think you're going in the right direction and you're not really going in the right direction. And so you have to ask the Lord to keep, you know, open your eyes up spiritually so that you can see. When other people are trying to help you, open up your heart so that you can receive the help and hear them and listen to them too.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your time with tonight. Let me go to our next caller. Last four digits 0266. 0266. Good evening. Okay. 0266.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes. I do agree that you know, showing a good example and being a role, you know, basically kind of being a role model is very, very important in life, you know, to the people around you, you know, to your kids and stuff, because they, you know, they definitely suck up everything that you're doing. So it's definitely important to have your mind right, have God, you know, in your life and in your mind, body, and soul, and to just keep striving every day to just do right and, you know, make sure you know that you lead the right way if you are leading.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343. Good evening.
Good evening. It's good to have you children today. They really surprised me now, because when I and my grandmother led to me, I used to make sure that I didn't deliver them to church like they should be at me. And I tried to keep on going as they got growing up and growing up now. As they got older, they got a little rough and I got away from them. But anyway, it's good to see them going back and doing the things that I had taught them years ago. It's so pleasing and pleasing that I did a good thing with the way I did it and the way I started doing it. And they surprised me the way they're doing it and living in the church and living with God. That's my thing. And I'm so happy to see them do that. And I did a good thing. I'm learning to stay the right thing and stay on the right track. That's my good thing now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening. All right. They must be listening in. Going to go to our next four digits, 0072. 0072. Good evening. All right. We go to our next call. Last four digits, 1712. 1712. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
It's definitely very important about setting an example, and I think the other young man said it best for me, you know, setting an example, you almost act as a role model. I know for me, I'm a product of people, mainly my parents, setting an example. But I think most importantly, one thing I want to say is that, you know, especially in the Black community and our Black men, I think it's very important to set an example and understand how important it is, because you have generations under you as well as your peers and even some older folks that are going to be watching and paying attention. And whether you know it or not, you may represent some type of example that you're setting, whether good or bad. And you may also represent some inspiration to others, like, hey, I don't necessarily have to be a athlete or be a rapper or be an entertainer. I could just be a normal, hardworking person and still set an example on how to live right, how to be a man, and also how to make God ahead of your life. You know, and I think sometimes we lose sight of that because I'm human. I've been there, you know, and I've actually taken on that role and learned to embrace it. But, you know, as you start to grow in the body of Christ, you start to realize, like, hey, some people may start flocking to you. Some people may start liking the way you move, especially if you see it in the young adults. But I never embraced it. You know, I'm like, God, I'm trying to worry about me. What you mean I got to start being an example and giving advice to young fellas? I'm like, I'm trying to seek advice from Gregory or my dad or people that lived. I'm like, I can't lead nobody. I'm not there yet. And he's like, you are there. You know what I'm saying? And we're all a work in progress. You know, I think the rumor is you got to be this perfect thing to set an example, or you got to be already developed and where you are to do it. But you can still be very much a work in process. You know, we're at all the different phases and journeys in our Christian walk. So even though I'm a work in progress, I've got my mentors, I've got my role models, I got people that I look to and set examples. But guess what? I can bring others along, because guess what? They may be where I used to be, so I can help them navigate up to where I'm at. So think about it. We're all connected. Somebody above me is helping me out and helping me, you know, get to where I'm trying to get to. I'm holding on to them, but then I got others holding on to me saying, hey, look, as this brother is helping me pull along and whoever may be helping him, I'm pulling y'all along with me. So it's important to set that example, because I think we lose sight of it. And as you get older, you know, as men, you know, we have ego, we have pride, we don't want to listen to nobody, can't nobody tell us what to do. But, you know, I push back on that. I say, listen, you need to have it. You know, even at 40, 41 years old, I don't know everything. I'm still learning. But I have people that I routinely talk to who are my example setters, who are people that I look at as role models, like, hey, I'm still trying to figure this out. I'm struggling a little bit. I'm doing things. And I still even have people that I've known that are much younger than me that we check in on each other. We talk. We may even have a word of prayer, even if it's just try to get things off your chest. So setting that example is continual. It's not just one moment in time. You need to be always doing that, continuously setting the example, being mindful of who's watching you when you do things, how you do things. I think one of the callers said it, like, it's okay, you're going to stumble, you're going to make mistakes, but let people know that that's okay. You don't want to feel like, oh, if I'm setting an example, I got to show that I'm perfect and I'm without fault. Do the opposite, because then that way they can be more transparent with you and say, hey, it's all right. I'm struggling. I'm falling, but I'm falling forward. I'll pick myself up. I'll still learn. I'll try to be better. Then guess what? They'll get to a point where they'll start to be an example to somebody else. They'll start to be a role model to someone else. And then when you look around, you'll say, wow, we have, you know, these strong Black men in the African-American community that are putting God first. And look at all these powerful wonderful things, you know, that they're doing, because we see the state of the world. We see where we're headed, and most of that is because we don't have positive, good role models to plant that seed early in our young black men, so that way they can grow up, mature, and start pulling other black men along with them. So it's very perfect. Like I said, I'm a total product of it. I was never where I was today, and I'm still a work in progress, but I know how far I've come through prayer, through some butt whippings, I ain't gonna lie, but also other men getting in my face, getting in my ear, and getting me straight. I mean, that's what it took. I'll be honest, you know, I wasn't always on the straight and narrow, and it took literally for my mom and dad to be like, yo, we've lost him now. He can't hear us, but we know some people that he'll listen to, some people that he'll sit down and shut up and do whatever. And it took literally grown men to literally sit me down and get in my face to get me to get myself together. And ever since then, I didn't understand it then, but I think those men, every chance that I get to say, hey, if you didn't believe in me, if you didn't kind of crack that whip a little bit and kind of get in me a little bit, I would have never gotten to the point that I am now. And most importantly, I thank my parents for that, to having the hindsight to say, we could have just let him go because he's grown. He's 18, 19, 20. Let him do his own thing. But they said, you know what? We get it. We were there once. But guess what? We can make a couple phone calls, and we know some people that he will listen to. So I thank God for that, because I had a support system and didn't even know it. I had people that were waiting for the day that I would get to that point and didn't even know it. And when my parents saw it, they said, we're going to put it in God's hand, but we also know we're going to make a couple phone calls and make sure that our son doesn't stray too far away. So, again, definitely a great question, but I can't stress it enough in the black community, especially with our males, how integral and how important it is that we have role models and also people that are going to teach us how to be more responsible and understand that, you know, you have to set the tone, that people are always watching, especially in our community. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We got one more call. And last four digits, 5236. 5236. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So I do it. I do also believe that it's important to lead by example. And for me, I'm always learning and learning from everybody else. And I feel as though I have learned so much from people being in my ear and always getting on my case, even though, of course, at first I didn't like it, but I didn't understand also what was going on and the importance of me taking the lesson and being able to take constructive criticism. And also teaches you values and also gives you that foundation of being able to steer yourself in the right direction. And you know, you never know, you when you have kids and your kids have kids, then it's kind of like a cause and effect and a domino effect. So that's my two cents.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for your comments tonight. Well, Dr. G, good to hear the young man step up tonight. Your final comments and closes out in prayer.
Well, we do thank God for all of the young men. And, you know, I thank God that we've been able to, you know, set some good examples. I get tickled now because I was just as hard-headed as my kids were, and my parents used to stay on my case. And, you know, I thank God that when he did come into my life, he put me around some good folk, and the Lord knew what he wanted out of me, and he knew what I could be. So, you know, I give him all of the praise and I thank him, but it is very important that we continue to set good examples and be the best that we can, because people are watching us. Not just us as men, but, you know, in our marriages, how we conduct ourselves in the street, people are watching. So it's very important that we take a good look at that and examine our own selves. With that being said, can we bow our heads? Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for one more evening in your word. Father, we pray now that something that we've said, something that we've done, has been a blessing to your people. Lord, help us to continue to teach this word. And, Lord, I'm praying that your children will get something from it. Help us, O Lord, that we might be on one accord when it comes to you. And, Father, we pray that as we continue to go forward, you will get the glory out of our life. For we do ask it all right now in the blessed name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.